Today, last day, hopefully it'll be the last day, on the sugya of Amira Li'akum. We went through the halachas in Sefer Chayei Adam, so that gave us a lot of background, and then we spent one day discussing, going through Rabbi Simcha Bunim Cohn's Sefer called The Sanctity of Shabbos, published by Artscroll. This is published in 1988, a long, long time ago. A lot of the things over here, he actually discussed many of the issues with Rav Moshe Feinstein. He writes here many things he discussed with him. He discussed many things personally with Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And even though it's been so many years since he published the Sefer, it's unbelievable. Everything here, nothing has changed. All of the modern Shilas have remained the same in all of these years. So let's just try. Last week we went through about half, and went through some half of the Sefer of what I felt was relevant for us. Let's today just review some ideas he presents in the second half of this Sefer. Let's discuss this. We're on chapter six. And we'll discuss all of the exemptions. Okay, so we spend so much time learning the halachas that what you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to derive benefit from a non-Jew. You may not ask a non-Jew to do for you malacha, and if he does malacha for you, you may not derive benefit. We discussed last week what happens if he does it for you anyway. We discussed the very critical yesod where there are three different types of acts of labor. There is a malacha where you derive direct benefit, for example, turning on a light, an incandescent bulb, or even a fluorescent bulb, or even an LED bulb, this is the Rabbanan. You are deriving direct benefit from the prohibition. And then we discuss deriving indirect benefit. And that example was for closing the lights. When the guy does Mechalel Shabbos by turning off a light, and then now that the light is off, I now can go to sleep in this room. I can now... the food's not going to get burnt. The fact that he turned the flame off, so I have what to eat. Because if he would have left the flame on, then the food would have been burnt. The cholent would have been burnt. If he would have left the freezer on, then the food would have been frozen. I would not be able to eat the food. So Goy did a malocha de oraisa, but the benefit that I derived is indirect. He did not enhance an object. He did not create something for me. He did not bring me something. He did something, and now I'm a Mela. I'm able to derive benefit, secondary benefit. So that we learned, you're not allowed under any condition to tell a guy to do for you on Shabbos, but in the event the guy did it for you, you are allowed to derive the benefit. Being that the benefit is secondary, and in many instances you're even allowed to ask the guy through remez to do this type of melacha. You're allowed to be merames that he should turn off the lights so that now you'll be able to get a good night's sleep. So you're not, and then the third category was where he's doing a melacha that you don't need him to do. There is enough light in the room. He's turning on another light. So now I can derive benefit. I can read easily, before I could have also have read a book. I could have also read a sefer. Now that he turned on the additional light, it just makes it easier. So I'm allowed to derive benefit because I really did not need his malacha. He did it for me. Make no doubt about that. He did the malacha for me. He did a malacha deraisa for me. And the benefit is a direct benefit. But being that the benefit is something which I don't need, I would have been able to accomplish my needs without him. So that is permitted. And in certain instances, if you really need it to be done, you can even be merames that he should do it as well. That's pretty much what we discussed last week with all the variations. Now let's go into forbidden waters. Let's discuss where the guy does for you a melacha de'oraisa. He turns on the light. He does the real deal. Usher. You're not allowed to ask him. You're not allowed to be merames. If he does it for you without you saying one word, you're categorically forbidden to derive benefit from what he has done, being that he did it for you. Nothing to talk about. Direct benefit of Chilul Shabbos by a non-Jew for a Jew, usser, there's no room to wiggle. Unless you know the exceptions. So what are the exceptions? He lists over here seven exceptions. Number one, Bein Hashmoshes. It's not yet Vaday Laila. Shabbos begins when the Shabbos. So when do we withhold from doing Melacha? Sunset. Candle lighting is approximately 20 minutes before sunset. Before sunset, or Shkia, sunset. Or 18 minutes, whatever it is. So then when it's sunset, so we, it is our custom among us. Let's just discuss the Litvish Olam here. I don't see any Chassidim here. So the Litvish Olam, we do not do Melacha. Bein Hashmoshes begins with sunset. And when the Shabbos begin 100% for certain, it's not clear. It's not really clear when Shabbos begins. So we Rav Moshe says, he writes over here, in the name of Rav Moshe, that you can consider Bein Hashmoshes for practical purposes in this halacha we're about to learn for 30 minutes. In other words, Rav Moshe holds 30 minutes after sunset Friday night, you already have to consider it's Vaday Laila. That's what he writes. He had this in the conversation with Rav Moshe, and it's also in print. 30 minutes there, it's in print though, he said 40 minutes, the stira. It's in print, he wrote 40 minutes. But when he spoke to him, he said to him 30 minutes. Which means Rav Moshe holds that from the time the sun sets, for the next 30 minutes, you can consider it to be Bein Hashmoshes. Thus, you can ask a non-Jew to do for you anything you want. A real melacha d'oraisa. If you know, you can't ask anything. You just can't just... It has to be a small need. A need, some type of need. The needs he gives over here is Shabbos needs, substantial financial loss, yardside candle, mitzvah. Some of these things you can ask a guy to do on Shabbos itself also. So he's not really being clear. What's the difference between Bein Hashmoshes and Shabbos? Because on Shabbos itself, we also many times can ask a guy outright, do for me a melacha that I will have direct benefit from. I think what he means over here is the standard, the threshold of what your needs are much, much more lenient. Like we learned, on Shabbos, it's only called Tzarech Mitzvah, meat, fish, yayin for Kiddush, and Lecha Mishnah. Dessert is not called a mitzvah for Shabbos. Kugel is not a mitzvah for Shabbos. Side dishes is not called a mitzvah.
Unix.
You're not allowed, no, there's no onik Shabbos, you're not allowed to ask a guy to be mechal Shabbos for you for onik Shabbos. You're only allowed to ask a guy to be mechal Shabbos l'tzorich mitzvah. What's called a mitzvah? There are very, very specific things that are called a mitzvah. A siddur to daven, you can't daven without a siddur. That's called a mitzvah. But when it comes to food, he really clarifies very clearly. Coming to food, it has to either be meat, fish, bread, like a mishnah, and kiddush, and that's it. You're not allowed to ask regarding mechal Shabbos to rice, so you can have dessert, you can have kugel, side dishes, soup, things like this. Out. That's not permitted. But Bein Hashmoshes, you can. Bein Hashmoshes, the warmer is off, the kugel is not going to be a shal bishalakim, let's not get into bishalakim. The oven is off, okay, or you forgot, you need, or the refrigerator. The refrigerator. The refrigerator is not been plugged in, and the dessert's going to melt. The dessert's going to melt, the ice cream's going to melt, or the oven is not in, and the kugel. The kugel is not going to be hot. So, being that it's Bein Hashmosh, for the first 30 minutes, you can ask a non-Jew to do melacha for you. I'll give you another example. Another example is light candles. Let's say a woman forgot to light candles. So that's a very spooky, very, very, very severe thing. If a woman forgets to light candles even one Shabbos, what is halacha? It's a knas. For the rest of her life, she has to light an additional candle. The rest of her life. Could you imagine? That's pretty severe. So let's say a woman forgot to light candles, and she remembers that it's after sunset, so what should she do? She should go get a guy. And she has 30 minutes, the clock is ticking for 30 minutes, she should get a guy. A guy should light the candles for her, and she can make the bracha, and she saves herself the knas of lighting an additional candle for the rest of her life. But she has to get a guy. Is she allowed to ask a guy to light a ner Shabbos during Bein Hashmoshes? Yes. After Bein Hashmoshes? No. After 30 minutes pass, that's not called a significant mitzvah. It's already too little too late. She lost out. She cannot ask a guy to light the candles for her. It's a melacha d'oraisa. You can't ask the guy to do it, but 30 minutes you can. A yard side candle as well, that's even less. A yard side candle, it's not even clear, that's a mitzvah altogether to light a yard. It's just a minhag. Are you allowed to ask a non-Jew to light a yard side candle if you've got to light the yard side on Shabbos? Or let's say it's whatever the situation is, Yom Tov, whatever it is. Yes, for the first 30 minutes, you can ask a guy, or let's say there's a loss, let's say a person is going to lose money. Let's say you left something outside the house, you left an expensive chair in the backyard, or whatever, you have something that you're going to lose, if you don't have this taken care of before Shabbos, you're going to lose money. Are you allowed to ask the guy to do something that you will not lose money? Yes, for the first 30 minutes. Once 30 minutes have passed, it's not so simple. It has to be a very significant loss in order to be permitted to ask a guy. And even then, you have to do it in a very special way. You should have to come on to Amir Amira, Merames. It gets very complicated what to do when you're going to suffer a loss after Shabbos begins. But before the first 30 minutes, there's room to maneuver, and you can just outright say to the non-Jew, "Sir, do this. Do A, B, and C. Please do A, B, and C, because whatever, and that is permitted."
Hashem created 10 things in Ben Hashem Ashot.
Yes.
Why Hashem didn't do before Hashem Ashot?
How do I know?
Because we are going to say, it's 30 minutes before candle lighting, because it's Shabbat.
Why? Hashem, he ran out of time. What can I tell you? He ran out of time. A tight schedule. I don't know. He's asking very mystical questions. Now let's talk about Ben Hashem Ashot the other way around. Mitzvah Shabbos. Shabbos, it's shalosh shudos, shalosh seudos, and the lights go out in shul, or your lights go out in the house. Are you allowed to ask a non-Jew? Are you allowed to ask a non-Jew to do melacha for you when Shabbos is over during the Bein Hashmashos period? Most of us in this room, I assume, do not do melacha until at least 50 minutes after sunset. I'm making that assumption here, right? There's probably no one in this room that does melacha. Everyone here waits about 50 minutes, 5-0. Anyone here wait less? Enough, they don't raise the hand. Some people wait 41 minutes. Five. I think everyone here waits 50 minutes. But that's only a chumrah. May Iker Hadin, when the Shabbos really end? We don't really know. It's not really clear. Moshe says really after 30, he seems to say after 30 minutes, so after 40 minutes. So are you allowed to ask a non-Jew to do for you malach in exactly the same scenarios? So you're going to lose money, or you're just disturbed. The threshold of what you need, you find it to be an important need, even though this need would not be enough of a reason to allow a guy to do it for you on Shabbos itself. But the threshold, the ground, you're much more lenient when Shabbos is over during Bein Hashmashos. Now here's the catch: when does Bein Hashmashos start? He writes here that he spoke to Rav Moshe. Moshe says 10 minutes after sunset. In other words, it's not Rav Moshe holds. It's not the day has not really ended with sunset. You have to take into consideration, you have to halacha view that the first 9 minutes after sunset is still an extension of the previous day. Rav Moshe uses this in many areas of halacha, like you can go and you can wash for shalosh shudos for at least 9 minutes. Many shuls, they don't finish mincha right away; they finish a little bit late. So people wash for shalosh shudos even after it's not really proper. You're really supposed to wash for shalosh shudos before sunset, before the day is over. For 9 minutes, you have 9 minutes of leeway. The real big issue is bris mila. If a baby is born, the baby's head comes out of the mother 9 minutes after sunset. Is that part of the previous day or part of the next day? If the baby came out of the mother Friday afternoon, exactly 9 minutes after sunset, is the bris going to be done the next Shabbos? Or is it going to be done on Friday? Very tough question. So I don't know the answer. There are many opinions on this matter, but I think Rav Moshe holds Friday. Rav Moshe holds la halacha that 9 minutes until after sunset, even though it's Shkia, daven mincha, you want to daven on time, you don't play games, but after the fact, 9 minutes is still considered to be the Torah. It's not nitna lemalachei hashares. The Torah has a certain amount of leeway in certain areas, and therefore there's a percentage, 2%, tefillin do not need to be perfectly square. There are calculations. What is 2% of the day? How many minutes are there during the day? If I make this calculation, we must make this calculation. How many minutes are there in the day? And divide that, and what is 2%? And I think it comes out to something like 9 minutes. That's something like that. That's part of the calculation.
1,440 minutes.
Okay, if you have to figure, you have to figure out the calculation, whatever the calculation is. So therefore, he holds that you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a few melacha when Shabbos is over until at least nine minutes pass, until 10 minutes after sunset. Then you have a need; you can ask a non-Jew to do melacha. Okay, let's go to the next exception. Exception number two is psik resh. We actually discussed this last week. If you have a pressing need, you just can't do this for fun. But if you have a pressing need, you're allowed to tell a goy to do for you a direct melacha d'oraisa if the kavana of the non-Jew is not to do the melacha. Classic example, open the refrigerator door. Shabbos, I want you, the non-Jew, I have food in the refrigerator that I need for Shabbos, and I have kugel, I have dessert. Okay, so this is not, you're not allowed to ask a guy to do a melacha. It's onik. So this is something which, under normal circumstances, is forbidden. I can't ask him to take out some cold drinks. I'm not allowed to. Does not qualify for me to be asked a guy to mechal Shabbos. Amul Akum is a davar chomer. But when I tell him the way I'm going to get the cold drinks, I'm going to tell the non-Jew, open the refrigerator door. By him opening the refrigerator door, he's going to be mechal Shabbos d'oraisa. He's going to cause an incandescent bulb to go on. He's turning on a light. But is that his kavana? No, that's not his intent. It's a dovar she'enoi mischaving. It's not his intent. But as far as we're concerned, a dovar she'enoi mischaving, that's a psik resha, is categorically usur. But that's for us. For a non-Jew, we do not apply... What?
Take yourself a cold drink from the fridge.
No, you don't have to do that. Say to him, I want a cold drink.
Yeah,
you don't have to say that. That's exactly the point. You don't have to come on to this kunsim.
You can come straight.
No, that doesn't make a difference. If opening the refrigerator would be a melacha d'oraisa, without a psik resha, you would not be allowed to tell him to do that. It doesn't make a difference. You can't know, there are no remazim. When it comes to having benefit from a direct, from a melacha, direct benefit, there's no principle of remes. Remez only applied where the benefit is indirect. That's what we discussed last week. Here we're discussing doing a melacha, direct benefit. Open the door. Ding, in this case, the benefit is not from the light. The benefit is from the food inside the refrigerator. He has to do a melacha deraisa, but the kavana is open the door. Opening the door inadvertently causes the light to go on. It's going to guarantee to happen. It's a psik resha. But he is not held on our standards. Our standards are davar she'enoi mischaving, is psik resha, is aser. But amira la'akum, to do a davar she'enoi mischaving, is psik resha, is mutter, even a melacha d'oraisa, and even though the benefit I'm going to derive is going to be a direct benefit, provided that I have a need. It's not just for fun. There's a need. There is some need. For example, the need will be for Shabbos. Okay, let's go to another exception. Yeah.
If goy shomer Shabbat, chayav mitah. Yes.
A goy shavas. The goy is not shavas. The goy, he's not doing the Shabbos. The goy is not shavas.
If he's going to do chayav Shabbat for us,
it's not relevant. That's a different topic. It's not relevant to our discussion. That's you're saying very good, but it's not our discussion. Example number three. This very symbol is illness. If a person a choyla she'ein boy sakana. What is a choyla she'ein boy sakana? It's a gray area of halacha. Everyone will tell you something different. It all depends upon the person, their age, the situation. Me'ikar hadin, it means a person is in bed. A person is in bed. That's what it really means. Me'ikar hadin, a person cannot get out of bed. You have to be lying in bed, and you can't go to shul, you can't walk around. I just don't feel well. I have a cold, I'm not feeling well, I have a headache. Is that called a choyla she'ein boy sakana? It's not what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Today, the minhag is to be very, very lenient. That's the reality. The reality is, someone says they don't feel well, opens up all doors, even though it would appear that's not really what Chazal, it's not really what Chazal had in mind. It's not really what Chazal had in mind. That a choylesh, anybody sakana, me'ikar adin, is a person who requires bed rest. Okay, but again, today could be we're much weaker, we're much more sensitive, one thing to another, it's a much more dangerous world, so we're very lean. Okay, next example is...
So for all these things, you would be allowed to tell a guy directly?
Directly. Directly, no kunsten. You can tell him directly, do malacha for you. You can tell him, go to the store, get me this medicine, go do this, malacha deraisa, all the malachas deraisa. You can tell him, turn the lights, turn off the lights.
Anytime on Shabbos.
If the shul is Shabbat.
Not to that yet. No, wait. One thing at a time. Okay, next. Okay, the next halacha. Now, here's a side question. The side question with this halacha is, let's say you go to a hospital. You're staying with an ill person in the hospital, and the biker choylin provides these very delicious meals for the choyla, not for the guest, for the choyla. They provide the meals for the sick person, and they provide also for the family also as well. They have techniques. They provide for the family as well. And they have warmers. Let's say even the hospital provides food, and the food is cold. I'm sorry. You okay? I'm sorry. You're upset at me. Mm-hmm. What? You're angry at me?
What?
You're angry at me? No, are you angry at me?
Why angry? I'm with you. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, you told something that in the hospital, I remember.
Oh, that's okay. So in the hospital, the non-Jew warms up, does the malacha d'oraisa to prepare food for the patient. They order food. Okay, they come around. What will you have for lunch? And there's a kosher kitchen. And in the kosher kitchen on Shabbos is in full operation, and there are non-Jews that are turning on the ovens, and they're preparing the food, and they're being machal Shabbos deraisa 100% in the kitchen, and they're allowed to, and they bring the food to the patient, and the patient has a little bit, or the patient says, you know, I'm just not hungry, I can't eat, I don't feel well, and he says to his guest, why don't you have it? You have it. It's good food. Why should it go to waste? Take it. Take something to eat. Why not? Are you, the guest, the visitor, allowed to eat this food, to derive benefit from this food? Assuming that for the sake of simplicity, there's no shayla bish. There's no shayla of... There's no shayla of bishul akum. So the answer is yes. This is a very important halacha, that once a non-Jew is allowed to do malacha for a chayla she'ein bo sakana, someone who is not a choyle she'ein bo sakana is allowed to derive benefit from the leftover food. Because that is an important law to be aware of. There is no issue in the hospital. People want to eat leftovers. It is permitted. Exception number, I think, number four, I think. Cold and hot weather. We mentioned this. If it's too cold, too hot, you're allowed to ask the non-Jew to turn up the heat, turn off the heat, turn up the air conditioner. You don't have to be merames. Okay, is there a hidden in merames? Maybe there is. Maybe there is a hidden in merames. You're not directly instructed. There definitely is an advantage. But so, you know, being merames, I've learned from experience, the being merames is a real struggle. It's a real, real struggle to be merames. You have to say, you know, now that you know it's hot in here, to do merames in the halachically the way that's meant to be merames, it's a nightmare. It doesn't go off so well. And if you're wasting precious time, then you don't have to make yourself crazy. You can tell the non-Jew to immediately turn on the heat, turn off the heat, turn on the air conditioning, off the air conditioning. Everyone is considered to be ill with regard to extreme temperatures. Next halacha, next exception is children. A child under the age of 3 who wants something, whatever he wants, doesn't make any difference, and the child can be a healthy, gesunte child, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do for the child, under the age of 3. Over the age of 9, has the same status as an adult. No. Unless it follows the rules, unless the child is sick. Over the age of 9, it's forbidden. Between 3 and 9, it depends on the discretion of the parent. If the child is considered to be very delicate, very feeble, in need, he'll throw a tantrum, he doesn't get what he wants. All depends upon the situation. These are the rules. Children have a different set of rules for Amir Eliyahu. The next example is, there's another example. If you want to do something on Shabbos, you have a need to do something on Shabbos, and you want to derive a direct benefit, it's called Amira Liamira. I want the lights on. I'm in a room. I want to go read. I read my Oynik Shabbos. Okay, we're not talking about no mitzvah. There's no mitzvah, but there's a ktsas tzarech. What's the ktsas tzarech? It's Shabbos. I'm very bored. I'm going out of my mind. I don't have nothing really what to do. And it would really make a big difference in my mental health if someone can turn on the light. You're not allowed to. It's not called a mitzvah. Just because it enhances your mental health, if it's not in the category of being clinical, you know, Shabbos is Shabbos. Sorry, that's life. That's Shabbos. You know, there are some red lines you can't cross. You can't ask the guy to turn on the light. You don't have any reason why you're allowed to ask the guy to turn on the light. But I need to turn on the light. I need it. Sometimes we all know there are things that you need and does not fit into the halacha where it's really permitted. So a legal loophole is what's called amira li'amira. I ask a non-Jew that he should ask another non-Jew to do the malach. So that takes away the din of shlichos. One of the primary reasons why you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew malach on Shabbos is because he's your agent, he's your shliach. You're not allowed to guide the malacha. It's as if you did the malacha. But there's no a shliach oise shlichusai. That you don't say by non-Jews. That far we don't go. So if you ask a non-Jew that he should ask another non-Jew to do malacha, so the result is that the non-Jew number two is acting as the agent of non-Jew number one, but he's not acting as your agent in any way whatsoever. So you take away the problem of shlichus, but you don't take away the problem of zilzul Shabbos, and you don't take away the problem of shlichus, and you don't take away the problem of amira, v'daber davar. So it's not really the best thing. You're only taking away one of the three reasons that we learned about originally. We're taking away shlichus, but not taking away the other two. So this is something which b'shas hadchak, if you have a very strong need, it can b'shas hadchak be done. Amira li'amira. Here is the thing which people do not know, and it's a very important thing to be aware of. Otherwise, the only time amira li'amira is mutter is when the second non-Jew believes sincerely that he's doing a labor for non-Jew number one. If non-Jew number two discovers that this is a trick, that he's really doing a malacha for the Jew, then there's no heter whatsoever of amira li'amira. So if I want to turn on the lights, and there are two non-Jews sitting over here, and they're sitting there, they're having a schmooze, these two non-Jews, and I say, can you tell him to turn on the lights? That is a violated Tzchil Shabbos. That's as if you told the non-Jew to turn on the lights. Telling a non-Jew to turn on the lights when you don't have any reason to do so, other than your own needs, personal needs, that are not l'shei mitzvah, and do not fall in the category, that's mamish and iser d'rabbanon, a very severe violation of Amir Yakim, Chil Shabbos. You follow all three. V'daber davar, shle dekala be'enav, slide in your eye Shabbos, and he's your shliach. Oh, but it was Amir Yamira. That's not called Amir Yamira. Amir Yamira has to be where non-Jew number two has no clue that you are behind the scenes. Yeah.
Can I ask you, Shala? I've had occasion to play with my grandchildren when the light is off. And let's say the grandchild is three. Can I tell my grandchild, go ask the guy, you said you could do anything for a child under three.
Under three, so you don't have to ask the child, you yourself can tell the non-Jew. You don't have to tell the...
So I can play a game with my grandchild?
You don't know, Adrab, why do you have to tell your grandchild? You the child needs the light on, the child's afraid of the dark?
Afraid of the dark, we can't see the game he's playing.
So you yourself are allowed to instruct the non-Jew to turn on the light. You don't have to tell your child to tell the non-Jew to turn on the light.
I can do it to play a game with him.
You don't have to do that. You yourself are allowed to instruct the non-Jew to turn on the lights. Now, it's true that if you'll have it be done amir, it's ideal. You're taking away from the severity. But you also have to understand something. It's that you're putting your child in a very peculiar situation. Well, you know, you have to really weigh if that's really necessary. It is correct that you are diminishing the level of severity by doing it through amira li'amira. But it's not required. It's not required. Chazal allow you to, they did not institute the rules of amira li'akum, the prohibition amira li'akum, when you're dealing with a child under three. So you yourself can directly instruct the non-Jew to turn on the lights. You don't have to be Mirames. You don't have to do Amir Liyamira. You can say, turn on the lights. This child, he cannot play. He needs the lights. Turn on the lights. Finished.
But like, if your child wants certain food, and normally you have to cook it, you can't tell. Can you tell the body cook?
Yes, you can. Under 3 years old.
Under three years old.
Yes, you can
so
tell
the 3 year old wants noodles, so he wants something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. You can tell the non-Jew. That's right. You can tell the non-Jew to cook the noodles for the child. Yes, you can. You can tell the non-Jew. You have a maid. You have a maid. They're allowed to prepare food, chil Shabbos d'oraisa, to prepare food for children under the age of 3. No questions asked. There's no takon of Nirul Yakum for children under the age of 3.
So warming up bottles?
Anything. You're allowed to instruct them directly. You don't need to be merames. You don't need to amir l'amir. It is permitted for a child under the age of 3. We're dealing over here, it's for your needs. We're over the age of 3. It's not a mitzvah. It's just to make our life easier on Shabbos. We're in a dark room. I want to read a book. It's Shabbos afternoon. I have nothing to do. I want to read a book. And I need the light to read the book. Is it called a mitzvah? No, you can't say it's a mitzvah. It's Oynik Shabbos, so it's Oynik Shabbos, but that's not permitted. It's not what Chazal permitted you to. You want to do a lot of things in life. You can't go do every aver in the book to satisfy all of your needs. So you won't have the book. You'll survive. But I really want it. If you really, really want it, you feel it's so necessary, then there is a leniency, but you have to accept responsibility that you're making use of this leniency called Amira Liamira. I instruct guy number 1 to tell guy number 2. But this only works in a situation where guy number 2 does not know that it's coming from the Jew. If guy number 2 knows it's coming from the Jew, then you have accomplished absolutely nothing, then you are in full violation of the halacha. Okay.
So if the first guy is guy number 2's boss, so he knows it's coming from a yid, but he's
no good. If he knows who the malacha is being done for, it is usher.
Even though he's listening because
It doesn't matter. Who am I doing this act of labor for? I'm doing it to benefit the Jew.
Right.
That's a violation of Amir Liakim. Period. Finished. Nothing more to discuss. Yeah.
You have to have a Shabbos grade for the Shabbos.
If I have a voice activated device like Alexa and I have my lights connected to Alexa, can I tell a goy to come to my home and say, tell Alexa
no,
to turn on my light?
No, because he's doing a malacha for you. When he speaks, his voice is doing the malacha. Voice is the same. It doesn't make a difference how you do the malacha. As long as the Gemara talks about it by muzzling, even the voice is considered to be very good. New technology, with Alexa, so a voice is also Chil Shabbos Deraisa. Alexa, turn on the lights.
Okay. Alexa, what's the baseball score?
So that would appear to be turning on the lights. Well, it would be a direct violation of Deraisa Derabana. It's and if you tell the guy to do it. So the guy is doing, he's doing the malacha and he's doing it for you. So this doesn't make a difference. So this is something people should be aware of when it comes to Amir Liamir. People do not know this. It's very important halacha. Okay. Another exception is what's called the mitzvah derabim. Now mitzvah derabim means if I want to do a mitzvah, if I want to learn. See, if I want to learn, let's say I'm at home and I can't learn. I can't learn a daf gemara. I want to learn daf yomi. It appears from what I've read. Learning is not called a mitzvah. Is not in the league where you're allowed to ask a guy to do a malacha. Private learning, private mitzvahs. I want to do hachnosas orchem. I want to be able to invite a guest over for Shabbos. But I only can invite the guest if the guy comes and brings me the key, open up the house. I meet someone. Oh, let's bring him in. Or you're not allowed to. If that guest will have a meal somewhere else, will be able to survive. Okay, made by you, it's better. Hachnosas orchem. Or I want to learn a daf gemara. I want to do something. That's not significant enough that you're allowed to ask a Gadi Mechal Shabbos for you. But even though this one mitzvah, it's for me, but if the mitzvah will be done by a tzibur, 10 people, then already that has a whole different, it's a different league, and then Chazal did not institute Amir Liakim. So for a shul, if it's dark, and they cannot daven, so for me davening, okay, it's a matter of enhancement, then that would not have been enough. But if the davening is for a tzibur, a shir, for a tzibur, you come to shul, and there's a shir, and everyone's going to have to go home. If they're not going to turn on the lights, not going to get the guy to open up the door, Everyone's going to go home. So go home. Big deal. So go home. Well, you lie to do whatever you want, but just because for a mitzvah. Chil Shabbos, Chil Shabbos. So for yourself, you couldn't do it. But for the tzibur, Chazal did not institute a mirul liakum. Okay, the next thing is michshol. Okay, another thing is michshol drabim. For example, shoveling the snow. Okay, no question about it. You're allowed to have a guy shovel your snow.
Malachim.
What?
There's no malachim on shoveling the snow.
You're making a very good point. But let's say you have to get the shovel. You have to take the shovel out of the house. So you go even a Carmelist. Let's say it's not a Rosh Hashanah, it's a Carmelist. There's no difference between the Loch Rabban and the Raisa. There's no Erev. Okay, let's say in Flapo, let's say there's no Erev, you're taking the shovel out of the house to the sidewalk. That's a Moloch HaDrabanan of at least going from Rosh Hashanah. Hayachid. What?
If you start a snowball,
okay, that the Rabbanan. Turning on a snowblower, it's an electric engine, so the Rabbanan, it's not a deraisa. So you're turning on an engine, you're turning on a machine, that's a Rabbanan. So you're telling a guy to do a Malach Rabbanan, he has to come, he has to travel by car. Turning on an engine, some many hold an engine is a deraisa. You're turning on an engine, you're doing things which are a deraisa. So he's going to come to your house to shovel the snow, and he's going to come by car, that's a deraisa. But what is he doing? He's going and he's taking away snow, which is a michshal derabim. That is mutter. There's no question. If you can get a guy to shovel your snow on Shabbos, you're doing your big mitzvah. Don't be from the frumies. Oh, Shabbos, Chol Shabbos, the guy's Michal Shabbos. No such thing. A Michshol Derabim is a hinder. To remove it from the tzibur, to have a non-Jew come and shovel the snow, it's a very important thing. It's mutter l'chatchila. Kavod Abrius as well. Let's say a person needs a bathroom for a private person. There's another exception, Kavod Abrius. A person can't go to the bathroom unless someone cuts toilet paper. You need toilet paper, or you need something. Something has to be done. Chil Shabbos must be in order for me to go to the Beis HaKisei b'derech kavod. If the guy doesn't do it, it will get done. What needs to be done will be done, but it's not going to be done in the ideal way. So it doesn't matter. But may kavod habriyos, there is no restriction of amira liakum.
What about a wheelchair?
A wheelchair, so that's a choyla. So that is mental health. Okay, so that is a very tough shayla, you should know. If a non-Jew is allowed to bring a person by a wheelchair, the minhag ha'olam is mutter. Because it has the stat. Anyone who's in a wheelchair is neged of a choyla she'ein by sakana. For Rachmana Litzlan, he has to be in a wheelchair, and usually it's with elderly people, and it's necessary for their mental health. And it's also a mitzvah. They're coming to daven. There's a combination of many factors involved in a non-Jew taking a Jew to shul in a wheelchair. First of all, what malacha is he really doing? Is it really a malacha that's being done? The Jew himself is allowed to go by himself in a wheelchair if he could, because it's part of his body. A person's allowed to go with a cane. A person allowed to go with crutches. A person who has crutches, who has a cane, is allowed to. There's no, if he needs the cane, he needs the cane to walk in the street. He's going to fall down. He's allowed to go with the cane in the street on Shabbos. That's not called carrying, even in a Rosh Hashanah, because the cane has become part of his body. I cannot support myself without the cane. It becomes an attachment to his body. Crutch is the same thing. So for a person to wheel himself in a wheelchair by himself, you're not doing any malach at all. It's mutter. So now that a non-Jew is doing it for me, so it's not clear. It's not clear what is, if it is, it's not. But the fact is that since if you would do it yourself, it would be permitted. So now that the non-Jew does it for you, it certainly does not elevate it to something which is mamish, a deraiso, a full-fledged anaver. When we combine that with the fact that you're going to shul to daven, and davening is a mitzvah, and when we combine that with the fact that you're giving the person a degree of harchavas hadas, which is necessary for his health, for his mental health, and more than mental health, everything, it's just necessary for his well-being, and it's also for the family. If the family, the family also needs a break, that the person should have an activity to go to shul. There are so many factors that are involved in this thing. It is today considered not a question. It's not an issue at all. And it's done ma'isim b'chol yom. Even the biggest Rosh Hashivas, Gedolei Yisrael, permitted, and they themselves have done this on Shabbos, having non-Jews bring them to shul on Shabbos.
What about a baby?
Okay, that we spend a whole shiur on that. The Mishnah Berurah says it's asa. It is forbidden to take a baby to shul to have the bris meal in the Beis HaKnesses. It's asa because the bris can be done at home. And therefore, it's not kedai. It's not begeder mitzvah. The mitzvah is the bris milah. The mitzvah is not bringing the baby to shul. You want to say barov am hadras melech. It's yefi. All the different psukim. The Mishnah Berurah disagrees. The Mishnah Berurah is not the only opinion on this matter. There are many other poskim which permit it. That it is permitted to do. Halacha l'maisa. We discussed a whole shiur on this. It's a very controversial issue. It's a controversial topic. Some do, some don't. Yesh v'yesh, there are different opinions on this matter. The only thing we mentioned is that, however you look at it, Chil Shabbos has been violated. You cannot ignore the fact that when it comes, that when all of the things that we're learning about over here is there's a heter, but you cannot take away from the fact that there was Chil Shabbos. It's just that it was permitted. So we mentioned the idea that when it comes to a bris milah, you being machnes a chalach nisa the research of Avraham Avinu, you have to also take into consideration that is that really what you want for the child? Do you want his hachnasa lebris shal Avraham Avinu should have come about through chil Shabbos? It's mutter. Don't get me wrong. No mistake. It's mutter, but there was still chil Shabbos. Is that what you want? The message you're trying to send the neshama, this holy neshama, on his eighth day of Milah, on his eighth day, the day of Milah? Okay, some don't care. Some say if it's mutter, it's mutter. It's more important that I should have harchava sadas, I should get out of the house. And many situations, it's absolutely necessary. You don't have a facility. You cannot be at home. There are sick people at home. Or there are people that it's an impossible situation. You don't have a place at home. All right, that's the way it is. But when you have other options, and l'chadchila, this is the ideal thing to do, to plan it, bedafka, to make it in a shul when there's really no reason why you can't make it in the house, they're chiluke deos. And you see many people that are very sensitive to this. I've seen many people that under no condition will do it in a shul. They do it in the house. They have the big fancy meal in the shul, but not the bris milah. And other people that chassidim don't hold from this. Chassidim, they're very into having it in shul. Chassidim, they hold, you have to have Berav Am, Hadas Melech, Sos, Anoichi, Alim, Rasecha. There's a very big inyan in having it done before Hesia. So, obviously, different strokes for different folks. So this,
in the case of shoveling the snow, the person can do by his foot.
You can do it with your foot. You mean maver dal rames for shusram? You have to be careful. You can do it by your foot. So if you're going to kick the snow with your foot more than 6 feet to the side, that is a violation of halacha.
It's not better than bringing shovel or rabim.
If you take the shovel and you take snow that's in this location and you move it 6 feet away from where it started, you have done an iser of Havara Dalar Amos Birushus Sarab or Havara Dalar Amos in the Carmel. It's the same exact thing.
You have
done something that is Shalak Halacha.
The snow is dropping here.
6 feet is not all that much. When you shovel snow, you usually move it more than six feet.
6 feet? It is almost 2 meters.
6 feet, go look. Sometimes you're right. If you go and you just move the snow a little teeny bit, and you're very careful, you move it a little here, a little over there, you're right. So then you're not really doing it. What are you really doing anyway? First of all, with your foot, how do you get the shovel there? You have to bring the shovel out as a problem. You have an Erev. Oh, so there's an Erev, so you're not carrying. And you're moving also, if there's an Erev. If there's an Erev, so then you can go more than 6 feet. So then with the shovel, the L'chor is not, but you also, you're compressing it. You're being Mamachik. You're compressing it. I don't know. Some hold yes, some hold not. I don't know. It's a tough question. It's definitely a tough question if you're really doing anything wrong by shoveling snow in a place where there is an Erev. In a place where there is an Erev, then there are reasons why it should not be considered you're doing anything wrong and it should be permitted.
For example, in Shabbat, when it's snowing, you are walking and the snow is your overcoat.
No.
You are going and is carrying that's, it. It's no, not that, traveling.
That's not called carrying. When you walk in the street, that's on your mal. That's on your malbush. You know, that's a separate halacha. That's not considered. All right.
Wait, excuse me.
Yeah.
Let's say it's to a
Suda.
Invited to a Shabbos.
So a Shabbos is the same thing. It's really the Shabbos is the same thing as davening. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Yeah. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. If you're going for no reason why you just want to go for a stroll, you just want to, you want the manager to take you down Ocean Parkway for a stroll. And so if a person needs it for his mental health, then of course it's mutter. You don't really need it, just... The Toskim that I've seen, they make it for a Suda, they don't differentiate. Mm-hmm. Then for a Suda, after Davin, you go to a Suda, no, it's all the same. All right, there's more, maybe we'll do more tomorrow, maybe not, we'll see, we'll take a short break.